you, Brian. Joy to be in the house of God tonight. Good to be at youth camp again. Amen. Did everybody have a great day? In spite of the rain, we've had a fun time at our first day of camp, haven't we? Please take your Bibles tonight and be turning to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Remember last night, I introduced to you out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse 14, where God had named three men in the Bible that He called righteous. And last night I preached on the first name of those three men, which was Noah. And then He named Daniel as the second man, and the third man as Job. And He referred to them as righteous men. You also remember that I said to you that a very important thing to remember, that if a Bible character is named in the Old Testament, and he's an important character, he'll be renamed in the New Testament. Noah was named in the New Testament by our Lord Himself, Jesus, who preached as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Well, Daniel was also named in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus. Jesus was at the temple one day, and they were showing Him the buildings of the temple. And they were curious as to a statement that He made relative to the fact that one day there will not be a stone in this building left upon another. And they wanted to know more about that. And so when they got where they could, they asked Jesus about it. And He began to explain to them that a day was coming when a Roman soldier and a Roman army would march into that city, would tear down that temple and completely destroy it. And then Jesus referred to Daniel. He said in Matthew 24, 15, that as when you see the abomination that is spoken of, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and I want you to catch that, he calls Daniel a prophet. And we know that he's one of the great prophets of the Bible. There's Isaiah, a major prophet. There's Ezekiel, a major prophet. And there's Jeremiah, who's a major prophet. And then there's Daniel, who is a major prophet. And so we're going to look at the life of Daniel tonight. And I am preaching this series to you on men like Noah and men like Daniel, because they are men who can influence our lives. Now, I said last night, and I'll say again tonight, there's men and women in this congregation that would be good examples for you to follow. They would be a good influence. And here's what you need to remember, that you weren't just born to pass through life and be passive about it. God has a reason for why He allowed you to come into this earth. And a lot of people pass through life and they never really find the meaning of life. They never really find a true fulfillment of life because they've never found out from God what was their purpose of life. And when I look across this congregation of fine young men and young ladies, I see the potential of some tremendous servants for God. Some young people who can impact your generation and you can influence your society. I will say some things tonight that you'll have to decide how you feel about it. I'm not at all trying to upset you or frustrate you, but I'm just merely trying to ask you to check yourself. While we live in a wonderful technological age of computers and Xbox and all those fabulous games, that's not life. That's just fun and games. And you need to remember something, young people. You'll not find what God really wants you to do with your face in an iPhone or in an iPad. I'm not saying it's wrong to be on a Facebook or on an iPad or on an iPhone. I'm just saying that you need to learn how to control that. You need to be disciplined in those areas of your life. And you need to make time for other things and really experience this wonderful creation of God. I want you to stand tonight as we read something from the book of Daniel chapter 10. Before I read tonight, I want to give you a little bit of a background of Daniel, because you need to understand tonight that Daniel was a young boy just like you fellas here tonight, young person like you girls. Daniel lived in the country of Judea. It is believed by some scholars that Daniel was of the royal line of the family of Hezekiah. He was a prince. We believe that's true because when you read Daniel chapter 1, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, commanded Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, particularly them who were princes that was able to stand in the king's court. They had to be men without blemish. They had to be men of great skill. And Daniel and three of his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, some of you know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were chosen and carried away in captivity. How would you feel tonight if our country was invaded by another kingdom? And if our nation was overthrown, and the king who come in or the leader who come in would just begin to ravish your home, maybe kill your mother and your daddy, and take you into captivity and carry you into a far land that you've never been before, and make a servant slave out of you, change your whole world. Probably tonight you're standing here thinking of some plans that you have in the future. And it's great to dream. Never stop dreaming, because that's the hope of this great nation. But can I tell you something tonight? When you dream, you need to know that some of the dreams that you have could lead you down the wrong course of life. I dreamed of playing professional baseball, and I had the opportunity to present itself, but that was not in the will of God. I dreamed of singing country music, and that opportunity availed itself, but that was not in the will of God. And I felt frustrated because two occasions, two of my dreams in life that I wanted, never come to fruition. And the reason it didn't is because God had a greater purpose, a purpose for which I'm thankful that I found God's will for my life. Because had I been able to play ball or maybe sing country music, if that would have been the case, I might have lost my soul. Jesus said, "What does it profit you if you gain this whole world and lose your soul?" And so your soul is valuable to God. So valuable that He gave His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you on the cross. But sometimes God has to have a young man or a young lady that He'll place in a strategic place in life. And it may even be under circumstances like Daniel was, so that future generations can have a chance to know Jesus. Young people, the reason tonight you can know God and know of Jesus is because of a man like Daniel. So here's what's going on. Daniel has had a great vision. He has been studying the books of Jeremiah. He is troubled over the fact that his people are in captivity. And by studying the books of Jeremiah, he has come to understand that they are going to be in that captivity for 70 years. But he's somewhat excited because that 70 years is getting close to ending. When he begins to think about that, he begins to pray and begins to confess the sins of his people. When God sends Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, to pass by Daniel and to reveal some things to Daniel that he needed to know. And Daniel had such a tremendous vision in chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And what he dreamed or what he saw in the vision, he saw the day and the time when the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Messiah, would be here upon the earth. He saw how the kingdoms would rise and kingdoms would fall. And he saw how the Messiah was going to come and the Messiah would be cut off. And he saw all the way to the end of the age. And chapter 10 says he understood what he dreamed and for three, or what he saw in a vision. And for 3 full weeks, Daniel tasted nothing to drink, nothing to eat. And he was terribly sick and terribly frightened. And what you get when you read chapter 10 is Daniel got what is called a Christophany in the Bible. That's a big word, isn't it? But here's what it means. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Pre-incarnate means before He was embodied in human form, Christ appeared many times in the Scriptures. Jesus didn't just come into existence when He was born in Bethlehem. He is a co-equal with His Father. God the Father is a Spirit. God the Son in the beginning was the Word of God. And the Word was made flesh, embodied in a human person, and dwelt among us and revealed the glory of God to you and I. And now we have the wonderful person, third person of the Godhead, the sweet Holy Spirit of God. He's that sweet person from God who tells me that I need Jesus as my Savior. He's the power of God to transform me from the old creature that I was into the new creature that I have become in Jesus Christ. He's the teacher to me of this book. He is the chastener of my soul, because God loves me and He's the same for you. So tonight Daniel sees he sees Christ in chapter 10. In fact, if you read verse 5 of chapter 10, he says, I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins was girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like a beryl, his face was as the appearance of lightning, his eyes was as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like color polished brass. And the voice of his words was like the voice of a multitude. If you don't believe this is Christ, turn over and read Revelation. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, verse 15, and he heard a voice behind him, and when he turned to see the one speaking to him, it's an exact description of what Daniel's seeing. A pre-existent picture of Christ. Every single one of us must come to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin if we expect to go to heaven. And so Daniel was a young boy who grew up in Judea and learned some things about God, and he had a personal experience. You know what he did one day in his life? He did just what four young people did last night. He went to an altar, or he got on his knees somewhere, and he said to God, I want you to come into my life and lead my life. And I'm passing this way tonight to challenge somebody in this audience that you may be somebody that God has got His eye on and got His hand on, and He needs to save you so that He can take you and use your life to influence and impact your generation. And I'm going to pour everything I have tonight into you that I can in a simplistic way to try to help you find your purpose in living. Let's read chapter 10, verse 10. Daniel, after seeing this vision, now in a deep sleep upon his face, and he says in verse 10, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, listen to this, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Let's pray. Father, I sense your presence in this place. I thank you for what we've been privileged to see tonight in the skit and listen to in the message of songs. But now, Lord, as you've quieted this audience, God, so that you might speak to these young people's hearts, there's a purpose for this moment. This isn't just by circumstance. This is a divine appointment, as far as I'm concerned, tonight. And there's a divine appointment for some young people in this house this evening, as far as salvation is concerned. When the Scripture says that Daniel set his heart to understand God, from the first day that he did that, it was then, God, that the Scripture says that his words was listened to by you. A lot of these young people are saying things, God, but the question is, are they saying things that you're listening to? Would you tonight help us to look at the life of Daniel and understand how that you took his life and made it what you wanted it to be so that it would glorify you? Would you tonight save the lost boy or girl that's in this building that needs Christ in their life tonight? Maybe there's an adult here that's got some needs in their lives, and that you would use what is said tonight to impact their life, to change their life. I pray, God, that I can spend all of the days that I live on this earth expending what energy you give me, pouring into the lives of every person that I have the privilege to come in contact with and tell them this great story. Have your way here tonight, sweet Holy Spirit of God. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. And God's children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. When you go back to Daniel chapter 1 and you start reading the life of this young man, it's pretty interesting to me that he was a very poised, or seemed like a very poised, or that is a very well-collected young person, understanding that he was going to be carried away into captivity. I'm satisfied, as human as all men are, that Daniel was wondering what was in the future. But there's some things that you need to understand about Daniel tonight that is important in our lives as God's children. I want you to think with me this evening about what made Daniel the influence and the impact that he was. Bear in mind that he was in the king's house, and he was influential in the king's house. He had the privilege of being over the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel was going to make such an impact upon the wise men that it would one day be known by them that the Messiah had come. That's the result of a man who was faithful to God years ago. I want to ask you tonight, will you be faithful to God right now in your generation? And will you let God take you into His plan and do in your life what He would like to do? If God is going to use you the way God wants to use you, you're going to have to understand tonight that there has to be a purpose of principles in your life. There has to be some principled purposes that you have established. One of the things that was a principle in Daniel's life was that he was respectful. He didn't try to push his way through life or bully himself around other young people. He didn't try to exalt himself above anyone else. He was so principled with such respect that I believe Daniel had words in his vocabulary like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, please, excuse me, thank you. We might think that those words are outdated and they're of no value today. But I want to tell you something tonight. There are principles of respect that needs to be taken on by you personally. Did you remember the text said that from the very first day that Daniel had purposed in his heart, or that Daniel began to seek God and he began to chasten himself before the Lord? That word chasten is a word that means Daniel began to control his life. He began to show some discipline in his life. He didn't just get with anybody and do anything. Did you know your Bible said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinner, nor listens to the or sits in the seat of the scornful? Why would you want to be with somebody who is an angry person? Why do you want to be with somebody who is a haughty, hotshot person? Why do you want to be with somebody who runs everybody down? When my children were growing up, here's one of the things that I never allowed. They could not call anybody ugly. And the reason for that is because I explained to them that there's nobody in this earth ugly, because every person is an individual uniquely designed and made by God. And God loves them just the way they are. And if God loves them, you and I should love them. And it doesn't make any difference what color their skin is, and it doesn't make any difference what their ethnicity is, whether they come from America or anywhere in the world. God loves them, and we should love them. And so I told the children, the snowflakes, if you study the snowflakes, there's no two flakes alike, and yet they can fall from the heavens, and how beautiful they are. And when they stick together, they can actually stop us from traveling, can't they? And you know, if God's children understood that I'm unique and I'm designed specifically for God's purpose and there's no one else like me, I don't need to be like anybody else. I shouldn't try to imitate anybody else. I should just find out who I am and what God wants me to be and do the thing that'll please the Lord. And you know, if we'd stick together with that plan, we could have a great influence on our society. But you can't do it with disrespect. And you can't do it with a rebellious attitude. You can't do it with sarcasm at your parents, or sarcasm at your teachers, or sarcasm at your youth leaders or your Sunday school teachers or at your pastor. You can't do it, and pardon this word, with a cocky attitude. God is not going to use a person who is all about themselves. We need to get over ourselves so God can become Lord of our lives. Amen. Daniel had principled purposes. Let me show you the respect he had. He was taken into captivity, and Ashpenaz assigned him and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah unto Melzar. Melzar was responsible for the eunuchs, these four men. Incidentally, a eunuch was a court servant in the king's house. He was busy doing business that the king had assigned him. It was a great responsibility. Not everybody got to be in the court of the king's house. They had to choose men that was well favored. They had to choose men who was cunning in knowledge. They had to be men who would study science. And they had to be men who was willing to learn the language of the Chaldeans. And these men were going to be in school for 3 years. Therefore, they couldn't be children that didn't want to go to school or didn't like to go to school. You don't realize it today. Right now, the attitude of your heart is, wow, it's summer. I'm glad to be out of school. You don't know it, kids, but those are the best days of your life. And if you'd open your heart and your mind and let God take it and begin to develop it, you might find school to be fun. But for 3 years, those boys was going to be under the leadership of Melzar. And every day they were assigned a portion of the king's meat and a portion of the king's drink. And Daniel could see there was a problem coming, because Daniel had chastened himself and had disciplined himself that he would not defile himself with things of the world. There are things in the world that you need to leave alone. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Bible teaches me that I can use the fashion of the world, but I am not to abuse the fashion of the world. God didn't want you or me to take our bodies and just strip them off and display them to everybody. God doesn't want us to open our mouths with words and language that is vile and vulgar and filthy. God didn't give us 2 ears to listen to all the smut and the trash that the world is putting out today. God didn't give you 2 hands to slap or smite anybody else with. I would far rather reach out to somebody and take that person by the hand who maybe just needs to be lifted up and help them up. I would far rather take my hand and put it on the back of someone and say, keep on going, son, you're doing a great job. When I worked in a Christian school, I had a boy that looked down every day. He wouldn't lift his head. I told his mama when I interviewed him, I said, he's discouraged, he's disheartened, he has low self-esteem, he doesn't understand how wonderfully unique he is, he doesn't know what God's made him to be. I said, he's going to get mad at me before he gets glad. And she said, what are you going to do? I said, every time I catch him down, I'm going to hold his chin up and say, hold that chin up, boy, you're somebody special. And sure enough, I'd go through the class and he'd be, hold your head down, son. He'd put his head down. And I'd say, hold your head up, boy. You're special. God loves you. And I'd come back through it. There it'd be again. I'd say, hold your head up, boy. You're special. God loves you. And I'd pass back through and I'd say, hold your head up, son. You got some great things ahead of you. And boy, listen, one day he said, I want to hold my head up. I said, you hold it, I'm going to come and hold it for you. He said, why are you doing that, Brother Mike? I said, because I love you, James. Why would you love me? He said, do you understand where I'm from? I said, yeah. I know your daddy left you when you was a 5-year-old boy. I know your mama left you with this family and that family and families all around while she run the world. I know that down inside of you there's anger and there's frustration. You feel like you've been discarded and you're not loved. But son, you need to understand, there is a God in heaven that loves you, and there's people on this earth that love you, and I'm one of those people. And I'm going to help you try to understand why God made you and find your purpose in life so you can be used for God. And you know what that boy finally started doing? He didn't need me to lift his chin. He'd see me coming and he'd straighten up. He almost looked like a military boy. And he told me one day when he came to the altar to open his heart to Christ, he looked up at me with tears in his eyes, preacher, and he said to me, thank you for showing me that there's someone in heaven that loves me. That'll be with me all of my life. Do you know if you could just influence one person like that, wouldn't it be worth it? Well, Daniel knew that if he just went in there with an attitude, hey, I ain't eating that meat and I ain't drinking that wine, and he'd have went in there demanding and being rebellious, he'd have got Melzar in trouble and he'd have got in trouble. But your Bible says that God brought Daniel into tender favor with Melzar. If you serve God with the right attitude, with principled purposes, I promise you that God will give you favor in this world and He'll direct your pathways. Amen. And Daniel said, Melzar, listen. I had decided as a young boy, I love my God so much that I decided I would never defile myself with certain foods and certain drink. And I know that we're assigned the king's meat and the king's drink, but Melzar, may I request that I don't have to eat or drink that? And Melzar loved Daniel, and he said, but Daniel, don't you understand that you'll get me in trouble with the king? Because the king has assigned this, and he's going to look upon your flesh. And if you look worse than lightning than the other men, the king is going to come down on me. It's going to bring the king's power on me. And Daniel said, Melzar, could I ask this of you? Let me and my friends for the next 10 days just drink water and eat pulse. That's vegetables. Just let us eat it. Just look after 10 days, look on us and see what we look like. And if we don't look well or we don't fare fatter in flesh than the others, then deal with us as you please. You know what Daniel knew? Daniel knew because he had principled purposes. Daniel 1:8 says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. If you have some disciplined purpose about you and you'll stand for that, God will honor you. I know that most of the time I'm preaching to a lot of people in this generation that does not have principled purposes in their lives. They're just flying by the seat of their britches. And many people that call themselves Christians are doing the same thing. And that's a distasteful way to live your Christian life. And so Daniel was assigned to pulse and water, and his friends eating for 10 days. Then they came in and looked, and they appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the rest of the men. And guess what they did? They took away the king's meat and the king's drink. And Daniel was honored to stand by those principles and that purpose that he had determined in his life. So here's what I want to impress on you first. The first principle and purpose you need to have in your life is, where do you want to spend eternity? Where do you want to spend eternity? Do you want to spend eternity in eternal heaven with God and His Son and all the great people of God? Or do you want to spend eternity in the blackness and darkness of the pit of hell? Separated from everyone and no chance to get out. If I could bring you to the brink of eternity and let you look off into the dark pit of hell, if I never told you nothing about heaven, you'd run from that scene and you'd be pleading, is there anything else? Because just the screams and the tortures that you would hear alone would be sufficient to make you decide you need some other purposes in your life. But I'm glad to tell you there's a city called heaven. A place that Jesus said, I've gone to prepare for you. And He said, whosoever believes in Me, they shall never perish. But there I will give you eternal life. Well, I thought the song they sung was appropriate tonight, because not only was Daniel a man of principled purposes, but Daniel was a man of passionate praying. You know, when you're reading the Bible, that's God talking to you. And when you're praying, that's you talking to God. Now, as much as you talk to God, you need also, after you've talked to God, to sit down and let God talk to you. Things that you talk to God about, He'll answer you here. One day I'd had a heart attack when I was 23 years old. My first church, I pastored. And they laid me flat in an ICU room, flat on my back, because they said my heart was heating up. And they said that it was because of the stress that I was under. And they were anticipating that in the next 12 hours, my heart could explode. And if it did, I would die. But I'm laying there flat on my back, and I've got my Bible, and I'm reading it like this. You know, when you have a heart attack, you're not supposed to put your arms up. And the doctor comes in the room and he says, "Excuse me." And I said, "Hi, Dr. Turner." And he said, "Son, every time I see you," he said, "you're reading that book." And he took it from me and he said, "How wide would you say that is?" I said, "Oh, inch and a half, 2 inches maybe." He said, "You live in a narrow world, don't you?" And I said, "Dr. Turner, are you going to charge me for this visit?" He said, "Yes, I plan to." I said, "Since I have to pay the bill and you're on my nickel, sit down here. I want to talk to you." Amen. And so he sat down on the edge of the bed. I said, "This book you call A Narrow World tells me what was here before there was a world. It tells me about God who is eternal. It tells me how He brought this world into existence. It tells me how He created you and me and breathed into us the breath of life and we became living souls. It tells me of all the history that has transpired from the beginning of time and even unto the end of time. It tells me about a Savior who came, found in fashion as a man and humbled Himself and became obedient to even the crucifixion death of the cross, that by that death He might purchase my soul so that I could be saved." He said, "Son, your time's up." And he said, "I apologize. I didn't realize that world was a lot bigger than 2 inches. I want to tell you something. You let people say whatever they want to you about this book. But this book is your guide in life." Amen. You know what some of you guys are going to do? You're going to go off to college and think you're going to find in college everything you're going to need to make it successful in life. And you might get a good degree and earn lots of money. But you can earn lots of money and still lose your soul. Some of you girls may go off to school and become professionals in a variety of areas and think that you found the answer to life in school. And I encourage you to go to school and go to college. But you need to learn from Joshua 1:8. And I'm not going to tell you what it says. I'm just going to leave that with you and hope you'll go read it. Joshua 1:8. If you'll adopt Joshua 1:8 and do what Joshua 1:8 says, whether you ever go to school or not, you'll have good results if you'll live by Joshua 1:8. Listen up. Why was it important that Daniel prayed passionately? We get passionate, don't we, about our football team? We get passionate, don't we, about our basketball team? We get passionate, don't we, about our activities and fun things we enjoy doing? Our music, our video games. We're passionate about it. How come we're not passionate about talking with the Lord? Don't expect to get out of trouble if you don't ever talk to God, if the only time you do talk to God is when you're in trouble. Amen. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that troubled him so bad his sleep broke from him. And King Nebuchadnezzar called in all of his magicians, his astrologers, his soothsayers, and he said to them, "I've dreamed a dream that's troubled me. Tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation and I'll promote you." And those astrologers and those magicians said, "Tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation." And the king says, "You see the thing's gone from me." And he said, "You would make the time of day off of me if I was to tell you. If you cannot tell me the dream and you cannot tell me the interpretation," then he said, "I'm going to put an order out to cut you into pieces and to destroy you, every single one of you wise men." And the wise men said, "There's never been a king that ever asked such a thing. And besides that, no man except those who would dwell with the holy gods could ever possibly tell a man what he dreamed and then tell that man what the interpretation is." And the order went out and Arioch, the captain of the guard, was going out to kill the men when they sought Daniel and his friends to put them to death. And Daniel said, "Why the rush? What's the problem here?" And he told him that the king had had a dream and nobody could interpret it. And Daniel said, "Let me speak to the king." And he went into the king and said, "Give me some time and I not only will tell you what you dreamed, but I'll tell you exactly what the meaning of the dream is about." And Daniel went home to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and he said, "Fellas, we've got to pray." Daniel prayed passionately. You understand that Daniel could talk to God and God would listen to Daniel? Do you know whether God's listening to you? Do you know whether God's hearing you or not? Did you hear the text that I read tonight? God said, "Daniel, you're a man that's greatly beloved." Daniel is not known for his faith. Daniel is not known by the fact that he was in the lion's den. Not in the courts of heaven. If you'll read the book of Daniel and count the number of times God told him he was greatly beloved. You know why God loved him so much? Because he had purpose in his life. And because he was a man who prayed to God about everything. And Daniel trusted that if he asked God what the dream was, God would show him and give him the interpretation. And that very night when Daniel went to bed, God let him dream what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed. And he let him know what the interpretation was. And the next morning when he stood before the king, he told him the dream. He said, "You dreamed and saw an excellent image whose brightness was great. That image had a head of gold. It had two arms of silver and a belly and thighs of brass. That image's legs was made of iron and the feet was part iron and part clay. You looked over into the mountain and saw a stone being cut out of the mountain without hands. You watched that stone roll from the mountain and smite the feet of that great image and broke the feet, broke the iron legs, broke the brass, broke the silver, broke the gold, until it was ground to nothing but chaff and powder and driven away like the summer threshing floors by the wind." Here's the interpretation, O king. That head of gold is your kingdom, Babylon. Those two arms of silver is the two kingdoms of the Medes and Persians that will follow you, an inferior kingdom. The third kingdom is the kingdom of Greece. Alexander the Great was the great leader of that kingdom. Daniel didn't name the iron legs as the kingdom of Rome, but most Bible teachers believe that it was probably the Romans for this reason. Because Daniel said, "You saw a stone cut out of the mountain that no man that rolled down the mountain and smote." He said, "The God of heaven in the days of the iron leg kings is going to set up a kingdom that'll never be destroyed." And that was done in the days of the Roman Empire. Now, you know, most of us hear that message or hear that story and we say, "Well, what's the relevance of that?" God placed Daniel in the land of Babylon, in the house of the king, because God knew what he was going to give the king to dream about and tell the king what was coming in days ahead. By Daniel giving that prophecy and the history of that, the world could follow it and watch and see whether that book is true or not. Amen. And I testify to you tonight that God is truth. Let all men be counted as liars. Amen. That book does not violate science, nor does it violate history. Amen. History often violates that book. And science very greatly violates that book. Science falsely so-called. But not true science and not true history. You know, after Daniel had told the king this dream, he told the wise men all about it. And he told them, he said, "Fellas, you guys need to listen to me. One of these days you're going to see a light out of the heavens." Because they were into astrology. They always watched the heavens and studied the stars. And he said, "One of these days there will be a star appear. And it'll shine brightly in Jerusalem. And that'll be the day the King of the Jews will be born. And when you see that light and you see that star, you need to go and say, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews?'" Did you ever wonder how the wise men knew to come? It was because of a little young Jewish boy out of the tribe of Judah who was principled in purpose, who was a passionate praying man, was put in a place that God wanted him so that he could use him, that one day a Gentile kingdom could come and see the King of Kings, and you and I would have the privilege of hearing this message and possibly be saved in this night. Not only was Daniel a passionate praying man, and there's many other stories I could give you in the Bible where he prayed. God preserved him through prayer from the lion's den. He even told Nebuchadnezzar about another dream he had about the large tree. And he said, "God's going to cut you down, put you out in the field, make you eat grass like an ox, and seven times is going to pass over you. And God's going to wet you with the dew of heaven, and he's going to leave you out there until you know that God rules in the kingdoms of this world." We get in such a tizzy in this generation, this age, when we have presidents that we don't like and don't appreciate and can't appreciate what they're doing. But you need to understand something tonight. Obama's not in charge.
Amen.
God's in charge. He's sovereign. And if you know this sovereign king as your Lord and as your Savior, you need not to be afraid nor fear anything in life. But what you need to do is you need to be a prudent, persuasive person for the cause of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be prudent? It means somebody who doesn't just jump up immediately and swallow everything and jump into everything right now, but they're carefully and methodically cautious and make certain of what they're doing and make sure that what they do it right. You know, it doesn't bother me if somebody says, I don't know whether I believe you or not, preacher. Bible says, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits. When he was referring to the spirits, he was referring to the spirit of the prophets. Try the spirit of the prophets to see whether he's of God or not. Because Jesus said in the last days, many false prophets are going to come. Daniel was no false prophet. After Belshazzar seen his grandpa lose his mind and his heart turned to a beast, and his grandpa driven out into the field and he got down on his hands and knees and eat grass like an ox, I can see little Belshazzar standing out there saying, Grandpa, you're a king. What's wrong with you? Grandpa, have you lost your mind? Grandpa, you're disgracing yourself. You're shaming our family. I'm satisfied little Belshazzar wept tears, trying to understand what has happened to my grandfather. And God left old Nebuchadnezzar out there until the Bible said his hair grew like feathers. His fingernails grew like the claws of a bird. But there come a day while Nebuchadnezzar was out there that God gave him back his understanding and gave him back his reasoning. You know why he was out there? Because he got so exalted in himself and in his pride, thinking that he had built the power of Babylon by himself. And he didn't understand that there was a sovereign God who rules in the kingdoms of this earth. And God left him where his glory could return, but he put him out there until he learned that lesson. Some of you, if you get all carried away with who you think you are, what you think you can become, you think you're greater than someone else, you need to remember something. God is not a respecter of persons. Don't you be either. And you need to remember something else. When you think you're something, that book says you're nothing. The truth of the matter is, we're nothing without Him, the Lord Jesus. But if He's in your life, you're everything. You're everything that God has ever wanted you to become because He made you unique to fulfill a specific purpose. And you'll not find that unless you get some discipline principles in your life and some purposes and say, I'm going to be careful who my counselors are, my friends, I'm going to be careful who my friends are, I'm going to be careful how I talk, I'm going to be careful where I go, I'm going to be careful what I say, I'm going to learn how to tell the truth, not tell a lie, even if it gets me in trouble. Because you got to understand something, telling the truth sometimes will get you in trouble. But it's only the truth that sets you free. Because the more you tell lies, the more lies you have to tell. And the bigger those lies get, the bigger the problems get. And you can tell lies so long until you get to believe in them. And you tell them as if they're truth. And there is no lie of the truth. And your Bible says all liars will perish in the lake of fire. And so if you'll get some principles and you'll start praying and reading that book and talking to God, and you'll become a prudent persuader of the truths of God, just like Daniel. Here's what happened, and I'm through. Belshazzar has grown up now, and he saw his grandfather restored to the kingdom. He knew that his grandfather had carried away the vessels of the house of God from Jerusalem. So he had no respect for the church. He had no respect for the things of God. Oh, by the way, you ought to have respect for the sanctuary of God and the house of the Lord. It isn't a place to talk about everything. It isn't a place to behave ugly. It isn't a place to create a fight. There's an awful lot of grown adults that never learned that lesson in church, isn't there? Belshazzar decided while he was entertaining 1,000 lords in his palace one day, he said, hey, they got to drinking. You need to leave booze alone. It'll wreck your life and ruin your life and destroy you forever. You need to leave drugs alone too. And he said, go get the vessels of the house of God and let's drink out of them. That was showing a disdainment for God and the holy things of God. What is your attitude about God? What is your spiritual concept of holy things? How much do you reverence your Bible. I love this book with all of my heart. I love it so much that I know it's just a book with a bonded leather out here and some paper with words written on it. These are inspired words. I often take this book in my arms just like I did my little kids. And I've hugged it. I've often kissed this word. Why did you do that? Because it revealed to me who Jesus is and what a friend He's become to me. And through this book and the preaching of it, I've seen God take people's lives that were in ruins and in shambles. And I've seen God raise them up and heal them and do great things for them. So what is your attitude about spiritual things? Belshazzar got to drinking and they got to praising the gods of gold and the gods of silver and the gods of iron. And all of a sudden the fingers of a man's hand appears. And over on the plaster of the wall, it writes something on the wall. Belshazzar sees it and his countenance changes. His heart smites him. His knees slap together. He's frightened. He calls in all the astrologers and soothsayers and they look at it and they can't interpret it. He's getting more concerned now. Daniel's an old man, but old Daniel is just as prudent as he's ever been and just as powerfully persuasive as he's ever been. He's still standing right. Doesn't make any difference to Daniel what the rest of the world's going to do. He knows who the living God is and he's going to stand with him. Do you know that? Do you know who the living God is? Are you going to stand with him? And the queen says, there's a man in the kingdom who has the Holy Spirit of God. He can interpret that. His name is Daniel. And they brought him in and Belshazzar said, Daniel, if you can read that writing and you can interpret it, I'm going to give you a chain of gold, great garments. I'm going to make you third ruler in the kingdom. And you know what Daniel said to him? King, keep your gifts or give them to somebody else. I don't want them. Daniel done lived long enough in life that he learned something about money. It ain't all it's cracked up to be. It's a shame that a lot of folks, maybe some adults sitting in this crowd tonight, you've never learned that. Because a lot of adults and a lot of you kids may grow up and put that ahead of the things of God. And if you'll read Joshua 1:8, you'll find out that God's in charge of even your finance. He knows your address. He'll take care of you. Daniel said, I'm going to tell you what the writing says. It says, God has numbered your kingdom. God has weighed you in the balance. God has found you wanting. This day, your kingdom is going to be taken from you, and you're going to be destroyed. How would you like to get news like that? God has numbered your days. Let me ask you boys right here. Don't answer me. You just answer this in your own heart. If you knew absolutely this day was your last day and your days was numbered to this night, what would you do about it? If you knew your day was numbered and today was the day and this is the last day, what would you do about it? What would you girls do? You know what Belshazzar did? Instead of taking to heart what he should have taken, because Daniel told him, he said, you saw what God did to your grandfather, and you've exalted yourself in pride against the God that humbled your grandfather. You didn't learn nothing from your grandfather. And for that reason, God, when he put you in his scale and weighed you, he found you wanting. And you're going to die. And you're going to die lost. It takes a lot of courage to stand in a king's court in the face of a king and tell that king, you're going to die. You're going to lose your kingdom. But Daniel could do that because he knew the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Daniel was a man that God greatly beloved. And because he loved him so much and because he was a man with principled purposes in his life, a man who was a passionate praying man, a man who was a prudent prophet, a man that God knew he could trust to tell the story right. Everything Daniel sought for and asked for in life, God revealed to him. As we get an invitation song ready, I'm going to close the message while they're preparing that. And I want you to listen very, very carefully. When we looked at the life of Noah and we ask ourselves the question, these must be important men. God named them in the Old Testament and Jesus referred to them in the New Testament. So there must be somebody that I should look at and study their life, because these lives that these men have lived can somehow influence me and impact me. What it was about the life of Noah? Well, he walked with God. And in walking with God, he received the warnings that he needed from God. And in faith, he could move in fear and prepare his house a place of safety. And after he had gone through that great, terrible flood of storm, he understood coming off that it was just he and his family is all that was left. Nothing else was alive. But he stopped and paused and did the most important thing in life, and that is worshiped the Lord. So we learn a lot from Daniel, from Noah. We walk with God and we worship the Lord, and we do it in faith. What we learn from Daniel is that if we're going to be influential in our generation, and you guys need to listen to me and you girls need to listen to me, you're going to grow up if Jesus tarries his coming, and you're going to be the leaders of this generation and this time of life. Some of you are going to be school teachers. Some of you are going to be nurses. Some of you are going to be doctors. Some of you are going to be lawyers. Some of you are going to be engineers. Some of you are going to be coaches. Some of you may even be politicians. But ought you not want to be any of those things only if you're a person that God has led you there to that particular place of life? And if you would set some principles in your life even now, from this first day, let this be the first day, like Daniel, the angel told him, or the Lord told him, Daniel, because from the first day that you made the determination that you wanted to understand and you started chastening yourself, you disciplined yourself, we started hearing you. If I didn't have God's ear, I'd start wanting to get it tonight. Because I'm telling you right now, if you don't have God's ear, you have no help in this life. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cries. And you don't have any righteousness of yourself, and so the only way you can get righteous where God will hear you is come and accept the righteousness God has for you, which is Jesus Christ. And you get that by inviting Jesus into your life. And then passionately pray to Him. Ask Him about everything that you need to know and learn. Daniel could get answers from God that other men could never have. And then when you're called upon to stand and do right, do it prudently. That is, cautiously and carefully and circumspectly. Know what you're doing and stand for the truth no matter what the cost.